Yes, you're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is The Art of Business with Tracy Marcuzzi and Ian Nesbitt. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Cora. Thanks for having us on again.
So, yes, it's a fabulous thing. I really enjoy talking to you about personal development with respect to business. And one of the things that you talked about in your Power and Love workshop was the importance of desire. And I thought that would be a terrific topic to unpack today. So cool. Go for it. How does power and love and desire connect?
Oh, wow. You got this in there, haven't you?
Power and love and desire. Yeah. Mm. We might have to break that one down a little bit first, because they're very big parts to, you know, a human being and who we really are. We got interested in desire because, you know, it seems like there's a lot of connotations around desire, and it's sort of seen and viewed in a particular way. And in a lot, it's sort of related to sexual desire as well. Both Ian and I are really excited about getting people in touch with their passions in life. And what we start to realize for ourselves is that your passions are really associated. They come from a deeper desire within you. And that's why we like using the term deeper desire or greater desire, because in our personal experience, you know, we felt deeper desires coming up in us, you know, many years ago in terms of propelling us towards this work to help others. And, you know, it takes something on the level of a person's identity to accept, you know, deeper desires, because a lot of us are conditioned to just, you know, follow what is a good idea. I think we've talked about this in other shows and things like that. But sometimes something deeper arises, which can be quite confronting. But it's part of the truth of who you really are in many ways. It's intrinsic in your nature to have desire. It's part and parcel of being a human being, a spiritual being, you know, and it's just part of the mystery of life, having desires and being willing to unpack them to, you know, to lead you into a certain experiences. So basically a desire is an experience, your soul, your higher self, your whatever you want to call it, a deeper part of yourself. Your heart wants you to experience, to have a particular experience or set of experiences. And so desire serves the purpose of, you know, propelling us towards those experiences that we deeply crave and would like to have.
Yeah, and we see that as being, you know, intrinsically connected and correlated to what you desire to learn and understand and know and develop in yourself. So we see life as a learning journey and, you know, the development of oneself. And so desires actually provide a signpost or a way to go. And I think, you know, we're all conditioned to believe that desires are sort of like a distraction or a side thing that we're, you know, to sort of be ignored as we sort of move forward in life and to some degree. But in actual fact, if you go into those desires, okay, you know, there's small desires. You know, there's just, you know, a desire for something to eat or a desire for a cup of tea or, you know, those sort of type of desires. And then there's greater desires, what we call greater desires, which is, you know, how do you want to serve humanity? You know, how do you... You know, what do you want to provide society? How do you want to make a difference in the world? You know, what is it that's your unique genius that you want to bring to life? You know, and so those, if you can't accept your more basic desires, then it becomes even harder to then accept those greater desires.
What do you think is the difference between desire, the type of desire you're talking about, and just people's regular way of approaching things?
I'll give you an example. I guess I have a sister who's 2 years older than me, and she both, you know, our high school encouraged us to go into the sciences. So she went off and did a science degree and I started doing a science degree, I got 6 months in and just felt this strong feeling inside my body, this strong desire, which was, you know, pulling me to express myself in different ways. There was a side of me that wanted to perform or just, you know, discover something about myself, express myself. I didn't really know what that actually meant. And even though my, on the level of the intellect, I loved learning about science, this feeling just grew and became stronger and stronger until I couldn't deny it anymore. And I had to, you know, or I chose to defer from my science studies to go follow the path of what this was pulling me towards. Now, my sister continued on with her science degree, started working in a hospital, and found herself 2 years after that organizing events at the hospital and getting really excited about, you know, the events, and found herself dealing with communication. And it came a bit more slowly to her, but what she realized is that she actually loved people more than she loved looking down a microscope. And so she actually realized she wanted to do more about communications and went on to do a communications and marketing degree. And that's totally more aligned with her. So why am I sharing that? Sometimes people feel, you know, on the level of the intellect, I'm going to continue to do something because it makes sense.
It's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do. It's certainly
what you're expected to do.
Encouraged in our family, you know, my cousins, everybody went down the science road. So I was sort of the first one that broke away, and it took something. It took courage to break away, you know, not having something else to say, I'm going to go do this. But I wanted to go kind of start the journey of exploring that. And when you can trust, it's a huge, trust journey or a situation where a high level of trust is required, because you don't know the outcome. You don't know where life is leading you. But I ended up, becoming a performer. You know, I had to explore a few different things, but I found my path and was a professional clown in my 20s, and it led me bit by bit. Different experiences led me to where I needed to go, and it was just an amazing career to have while I was in my 20s.
And often, you know, as well as the, it's when you get in touch with what you desire on a deeper level, you often have to go through what you don't desire, or what you think you desire but don't really desire. And you know, and this ties in beautifully with business, because you know, really, there's a, you know, people go into business for different reasons, but you know, ultimately, there's a desire for something. You know, there's a desire for freedom or autonomy. There's a desire to want to provide a particular service or a product or something that you feel is there for you to do. You know, so it's, and especially in the services industry like we're in, where we provide services. It's intrinsically connected with who we are and what we're about and what we believe and what we're we feel we can give to the world. And so, you know, the journey, you could say, is you know, honing in on getting clearer and clearer about what those desires are and how to express them.
Let's talk about that a bit more, about how we can get clear on our desires after a song.
Here's Legs Electric with Tuesday Girl.
Saturday, you never text, and I won't ever.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is The Art of Business with me, Cora Zon, Tracy Marcuzzi, and Ian Nesbitt. We're talking about desire. So desire is a word that makes a lot of people feel uncomfortable.
Why is that, Cora?
Why is that?
Why do you think?
I can answer that one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's, you know, I think it's because most people don't think about what they desire. It's not something that is considered a lot. And the reason why I feel that is because desire is a feeling thing rather than a thinking thing. It's getting in touch with what you feel. And, you know, and that's, you know, a heart level, you know, it can be a gut level, it can be in your base level. In terms of your, you know, there's obviously sexual desire, and there's a desire for intimacy, and there's desire for fun, and there's desire for adventure, you know. So it's a much more of a body experience and a body expression. And if we're stuck up in our intellect, and you know, as most people are, because we've been trained that way, you know, by our education system to see the world purely from an intellectual point of view. Then stepping out of that intellect into our desire, you know, can be quite a challenge, you know, because when you step out of your intellectual mind, you know, you do feel a little bit like you're going out of your mind when you get into your body and get into your body's intelligence. And so often people suppress desire because it's too difficult. It's a challenge, and they get afraid of it. They get afraid of it overtaking them, and what's going to happen if I let my desires out, you know, who will I become, you know? And so, you know, that's where, you know, those desires can often be in conflict with what the intellect has created as, well, this is who I am, this is how I am, this is how I operate, this is the sort of person that I am. You know, there was something, I was just on a call to a client, and he was telling me about, he read in the news about a football coach who was caught cross-dressing or something like that, or dressing up as a woman. And you think, you know, what an incredible example of how, you know, the intellect says, I'm a football coach, I have to be a man, I have to act like a man, I have to be strong and all that, you know, in my masculineness. But there's this desire to wear women's clothing, right? You know, which is, you know, it's and so sometimes that's what happens, is what you desire seems absolutely in conflict with you know, what your intellect says is okay and acceptable and all of that sort of stuff. And so I think over the years, you know, we've got this fear as a general, you know, human beings have this fear of getting in touch with a desire, because it challenges our identity, it challenges who we think we are. And yeah, I think that's why we sort of suppress it and push it down and ignore it. And then it reaches a point where, you know, for some people, you know, they might get to 40 or 50 and they realize, oh my God, you know, this is what I really desire, this is what I really wanted, this is who I really am. But, you know, I wanted to be a musician, or I wanted to be a poet, or I wanted to, you know, go and work in Africa with kids. But, you know, my family said, you know, you got to be a doctor, or you got to be a plumber, or you've got to be a, you know, whatever. And so, you know, there comes a point where the pain of not fulfilling that desire becomes too great. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, people then reach this sort of identity crisis and
sort of have to break out of it.
You know, and
and everyone else thinks they're going mad and they're having a midlife crisis and they're buying cars and doing this and, you know.
And you know, just to bring it back to business, because we're in the Art of Business show, you know, that can happen in business as well. You can get a great idea for a business and think, oh, yeah, that's a great idea, let's follow that, let's do that. And then it doesn't actually match up with what you really desire. And, you know, that could be something else completely. And so, you know, it's this congruency, this getting the what you express and what you do and what you are in your life is aligned with who you really are, and what's really true to you. Mm-hmm. And that's the challenge that most people are facing.
Well, it's a challenge that most people don't even even look at. As you're saying, most people think of as desire as wrong, and that you need to follow, you know, your intellect. You need to, that's the straight and straight path that you should go on, and you know, what's this thing about desire? Don't worry about that. So how do people make that shift? If you say that desire is really the engine behind, it'll come out at some point, whether it's 40, 50. You know, at some point, your desires will make themselves known and they will tip your life upside down. So what would be a better or smoother transition, or what would be a better way to go about it?
Well, one of the challenges is that the intellect often wants to throw up reasons for not doing it. You know, that when you think about it, the source of all sort of fear and paranoia comes from thought. So, you know, if you never had a thought, what would be wrong, right? So the intellect throws up all the reasons for not doing something. So, you know, if you're a young person going out into the world and you're being told, okay, you got to go to uni, you got to study, you got to get a degree, you got to get a good job, and you got to marry and have children and do all that sort of thing. I mean, that's less the case these days. But, you know, and there's a part of you that desires to want to go to Peru and live with a tribe or something. The intellect will throw up all the reasons for not doing that. You know, all the fear, all the doubts, all the worries, all the concerns. And so, you know, we see all of that, and then that's what stops people from really following the desire. And so you could really sort of define that in a simplistic way of saying that there's a lack of trust in the belief that if you follow your desire, it's going to produce a positive outcome. So there's a fear that if you follow your desire, it's going to create negative outcomes. You know, you often hear people say things like, oh, if everyone just followed their desires, you know, the place would be chaos, you know, or, you know, people just go out killing each other or whatever. And it's just not true, because people don't desire that. You know, those things happen in, you know, except for the, obviously for the odd psychopath, but for most people, you know, it's about desiring things that actually are good for them, that make a positive difference for them, that what matters to them, and what, you know, what they want to learn and develop themselves around. You know, a deeper intuitive knowing that knows this is the way to go. And so this lack of trust in positive outcomes, in the fact that we can trust that things are going to work out well, is something that as a society we suffer from in a major way. Like, you can see it in what's playing out at the moment. There's a huge amount of fear. You know, people have a lot of fear that things are going to go badly, that they're going to go wrong. And, you know, we believe very strongly that if you create that fear, then that's probably what you'll end up experiencing more likely than not. So, you know, you have to start from allowing yourself to express some of your desires.
And acknowledge them and
accept them, and then express them and see what that unfolds. It's like you tentatively step out into that realm and you say, okay, well, here's a desire that feels like, yeah, that could be a positive outcome, and then follow that. And, you know, there's going to be people who are anti what it is that you want to do. There's always going to be people who've got an issue with you following your desire, you know?
That's a really good reason why people, you know, it's the fear of losing friends, losing face, losing, you know, just disappointing others. There's a lot to fear when you express yourself. Will people reject me? Will people not like me? And there's a deep human need to belong, and a deep need for connection and to be part of a tribe. You know, it's very primordial in that way. We have that need to belong. So anything that sort of threatens our level of belonging to a group will have us suppress those desires. But what we like to teach people is that, you know, you can be an individual, a fully expressed and uniquely expressed individual, and be part of a tribe as well, you know, especially if you're connected to, you know, good-hearted people who accept, you know, who you are and are generally very accepting and loving people.
That's what you end up attracting, you know, and if you're not following that, then, and you stay in your safety zone and you stay in your intellect and you don't allow yourself to express yourself, then then you end up attracting more critical people and people who aren't really aligned with you. And so, you know, this is what seems to unfold. The more you follow your desire, the more it seems that life will present you with more positive stuff, with stuff that you actually need, with stuff that you want, with people that are aligned with you, with situations that that support and encourage that. And that's the beauty of it. But it, you know, that takes a certain amount of trust and faith in that process.
And it does take a real shift in a real paradigm shift in order to think that actually following your desire has more integrity.
Yes, absolutely. You know, if you think about the intellect's a bit like a goldfish bowl. You know, this is the analogy we like to use. And if you operate from your intellect, you'll only get whatever's inside the goldfish bowl. And, you know, people use their intellect to be able to describe that goldfish bowl in incredible detail. And that's really great. And you can argue over the points of it. But you can never experience what's outside of the goldfish bowl. And so, you know, when we step out of our intellect and we go into a more of a feeling, way of operating in life, then we get in touch with our desires and we follow our desires. We step out of that goldfish bowl. And so then what becomes presented from our experience and from people that we've worked with over the years, what they end up experiencing is something far greater than anything that their intellect could imagine. And it's a beautiful thing, you know, it provides something extra that wasn't possible while you're inside the goldfish bowl.
And really, that is the point of your work, I imagine.
Yeah.
So let's listen to another song.
Okay, here's Pure Tone with Cherry on Top. No worries, I've been muting myself so the bandwidth doesn't get taken up.
Here I stand with my heart in my hand.
I'm G'day, this is Nicholas Connors.
Hi, I'm Amy Francis.
Hi, I'm Alana from Legs Electric, and you're listening to Yarra Valley FM.
More Australian music, more often.
Here I stand with my heart in my hand.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is The Art of Business with Corazon and Ian Nesbitt and Tracy Marcuzzi. We're talking about desire and how desire is a word that can make people feel uncomfortable, but in actual fact, if you truly follow your desire, you are living in more integrity because desire is a part of your natural unfolding, the way that you would naturally grow. And we want to talk about how desire and intellect can be support one another. So how about that, Ian?
Yeah, look, I mean, it was just, you know, a great analogy for this would be, you know, a seed and a plant growing out of the ground in a jungle or in a forest. You know, it has to find its own way. It has to learn its own path to get sunlight, you know, to find its way to the sun, to find its way to and find its particular area where it gets to shine, you know. and so, you know, if you think about it, by not following your desire, it's like not following that desire to shine, to find your area of the sun. It's like allowing yourself to wilt. And this is what you see in people, right? You see when people start to wilt, when they start to, you know, sort of lose the joy of life, when they lose that sort of fire in their belly, and they lose that sort of sparkle in their eye, it's because on some level what they've done is they've suppressed their own desire. They've suppressed their natural urge to move towards the light, to the sunlight, to step out of themselves and towards something, you know, greater than themselves. And so, you know, nothing in nature generally does that, right? You know, nothing sort of, no plant sort of says, oh, well, I'll just hold it back and I'll just sort of keep over here and mind my own business.
Or I'll try to be like that plant over there.
Yeah, I've got to be more like that. Oh, that plant's definitely doing better than I am, you know, and how come they're growing faster than I am, et cetera, you know? So, you know, we all have our own uniqueness, and comparison is the death of us, right? You know, in terms of, you know, it's one of the most painful things to do is to compare yourself with somebody else. But, you know, that's what it comes down to, is that desire is that, you know, you can call it almost like the evolutionary drive that's in ourselves to just want to expand and be the greatest version of ourselves that we possibly can, and to experience the most sort of light, you know, and the most fulfillment and the most happiness and the most satisfaction and so, you know, when you get that, that's the name of the game. When you get that, that's what life's about, you know. And it doesn't have to be at the expense of somebody else. In fact, if anything, if you follow your desires and start to fulfill on your desires and allow yourself to do that, it sets an example to others. You know, you become a leader. You become a leader of authenticity. You become a leader of integrity. You know, you become a leader of your own self-expression, which allows others to go, oh, wow, they did it. You know, they were able to do it. You know, you look at the David Bowies of the world, you know, what made them amazing was the fact that they just followed the desire to such a degree. You know, they just went there wherever it took them, and, you know, and just had massive influence on everybody else by doing so.
Well, it makes people and businesses distinct from one another, so that you can easily identify that. Well, I guess in business, people are looking for that thing which makes them distinct as well.
Yes.
If you think about food, for example, as a business, you'll have someone who'll supply jam donuts, and you'll have another one who'll supply Indian, or another one who'll supply vegetarian. So they're all distinct, and in some ways, is that one way that you follow on with this unfolding?
It's funny you should use that example, because one of the things I noticed, you know, and this might go go down badly. But, you know, when I was in, I lived in Sydney for 2 years before moving down to Melbourne and feeling that Melbourne was more my sort of city. But, you know, when you looked at, when you came to Melbourne, what you saw was that, you know, restaurants were, you know, Indian or Italian or Greek or whatever. While you could go to a restaurant in Sydney and it was, there was a lot more individuality. You couldn't, you couldn't say what that menu was. You couldn't really describe it other than to say it was something that the chef had created. You know, it was, it was unique. It was individual. It was dishes that you'd never seen before in your life. And there was something exciting and adventurous about that, you know. And so this is what you sort of see with desires, that some people have a desire to be the same, to try and sort of, you know, just produce something which is what everybody expects, you know, to go with the flow of the norm. And then there's people who desire to want to create something that no one's ever created before. Both are needed. You know, both are important. Mm-hmm. Both have their place, right? When you get on a plane, you want the desire of that company to have the same experience. You want to get on the plane and get there and get off again, and that's it. You don't want any surprises, right? You know, so consistency of something that you're familiar with is absolutely fine. It's important to have that. But it's also important for the, you know, to have people who desire innovation, who desire change, who desire to see things done differently. And so, you know, that's the other thing about desire is that it can take many different forms, and allowing people, you know, if it's authentic for you to create a restaurant or to do artwork that has a sort of a similarity to it, to, you know, to it's familiar to people, that's completely fine if that's your self-expression.
Well, it could also be a cultural thing that you really want to honor a culture that you've exactly. been
like the
in.
Asian culture.
So what you're saying, I guess, is there are different levels and reasons behind why people make choices. Like there's different aspects of desire that it might touch upon.
Yeah, and I think that's because desire is really connected to your values in life as well, and what you value, what's important to you, what you care about, and that's where it really is connected to your heart. You know, what you value just sits right there in your heart. You know, the things you see in the world and the things that upset you and the things that make you angry at times, and you know, they're often the things that you care about and want to make a difference in. So there's many different reasons why, you know, you want to express that desire, because something might be missing in the world. The world needs your input, your particular piece of the jigsaw puzzle, and nobody else, you know, sees the world in the way that you do. No one else has this unique set of conditions that have come together to be able to express, you know, your unique genius in the world, supporting whatever cause or building something or contributing in some way to society, you know, in the way that serves the greatest good for everybody.
So in some way the value, for example, we're talking about the Indian restaurant. One person may value tradition, and then there might be someone who might value innovation. So they might have unusual recipes or unusual decor, you know, a bit different from the norm. So either way, so long as you're in touch with your value and your desire, is that what you're trying to explain?
Yeah, and that ties in with your customers as well. What type of customers that you want, you know? Like it's interesting because most people sort of think of business as something where, you know, oh, well, I've got to go and find customers that, you know, but the thinking about trying to match the customers rather than the customers matching them. You know, so for instance, you can have a situation like you say where, you know, you can go to an Indian restaurant and the chef has just got incredibly innovative new ideas of how to create curries and different sauces and so on. And so you're going for that unique experience, while another restaurant might be, we're all about family. We're all about, you know, this being a place that families can come to and have a meal like they would have at home. you know, and it's familiar and it's safe and it has those qualities to it, you know. And it's the same with any particular business that you're in. It's what's your desire of your business? What is it that you're wanting to contribute and provide as an experience to others? You know, what's your product? You know, what is it providing as an experience for others? What does it fulfill on? And you know, it's important to have a congruency between the two. You know, if you're providing something to people that you actually don't really care about yourself or isn't important to you, then it's not a sustainable business. Just as if you're providing something that's, you know, that you're really passionate about but nobody else is, it's not a sustainable business. You know, it has to
fulfill both, doesn't it?
It has to fulfill both.
Yourself, your deeper needs and desires, and in doing so it fulfills something for others as well.
Yeah.
You
can apply that to anything, right? You can apply that to any relationship, to any friendship, to you know, it's the same principle, is that it's mutually
fulfilling.
Yeah, I like the way you it relates to relationship, because every interaction between people is a form of a relationship at varying levels of intimacy, I guess, from not very intimate at all to very intimate. Let's talk more about that after a song.
Here's Phoebe Starr with Iced Tea Liberace.
Sipping on iced tea, I see on the Thursday, everything is killing me. Try and live quietly, my anxiety got everywhere to be. Miss my train pushing our highs. I guess it's just a sign of the times. Bottom my hype, it's a DIY. Oops, forgot my line again. Protest my innocence, making love in my defense. They never paid this kind of rent. Bang, bang, shooting down our air supply. Miss my train pushing my highs. I guess it's just a sign of the times. Bottom my hype, it's a DIY. Oh, move along, move along, Hollywood. Super fast, super old Hollywood. Move along, video. Cause these are the kids back in the old times. Whack.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. We're talking about the art of business, and in particular about desire. So what role does confidence play in fulfilling your desires?
Well, one of the things I think about confidence is you know, or the lack of confidence, you know, it comes back to what we said earlier, which is this trust in a positive outcome, you know. And so, you know, that can be broken down into two aspects. It's, you know, a trust in oneself and one's own abilities and you know, and our ability to learn as we go along. And also, trusting that that will create positive outcomes by doing so. So a big block that we found over the years working with people is that we're often taught that it's not okay to not know something. So in other words, we feel uncomfortable with the idea of not knowing what to do or where to go next or how to approach something. If you think about it, any great thing that's ever been done has been done by somebody who didn't know what they were doing before they started doing it. You know, they had to learn as they went along. And that's the nature of business. There's nobody who starts a business from the perspective of, I completely know what I'm doing, right? Unless they've already done it before. And so they're starting a new business from that perspective. But for everybody else, it's about being okay with not knowing. And then you go about discovering, you go about finding out, you go about learning and developing and trusting that by doing that, things are going to work out for you. Things are going to work out well. Mm. And that's a big part of where confidence comes from.
Mm. Yeah. And just to add to that, I would also say it's really important to give ourselves permission, you know, just to attempt something, to try something new, to even risk failure, because often when we, you know, we don't like the term failure, really. It's you're either, you know, failing, or, you know, you're learning. It's an opportunity to learn. So when you're going down the road and you're afraid of, you know, stuffing things up, making a mistake, failing, you have to be okay with that, because that's often your greatest opportunities for, you know, learning about yourself.
Wouldn't it be great then? Wouldn't it be great then to, instead of think of it as failures, think of it as unlearning just each time? Oh, okay, I've done that. I'm learning. Maybe replace the word failure altogether with unlearning.
I mean, really, a failure is something that you've done where you haven't learned from it. You know, that's really, if you're looking back on something and saying, oh, I failed there, then you didn't really learn from it. And so there's an opportunity to go back and look at it and say, okay, well, what did I actually learn? So, you know, we see it like, you know, you win or you learn. That's how it works. And often we learn more from our mistakes than we do from when we succeed.
There's a quote I really like. I'm not sure who said it, but failure is only the opportunity to begin again more intelligently.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's beautiful.
It comes back to we're all on a learning journey, and to be really gentle with ourselves. You know, so many people have high expectations, you know, and set themselves these unachievable or unrealistic goals, and then they just, you know, so hard on themselves when they don't fulfill on that. But, you know, so if you can let go of those high expectations you have, let go of attachment, you know, it's great to set goals and have your goals and work towards them. But life is, all, you know, the way that things unfold, there's an intelligence that's guiding the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes something has to happen before something else does. We can't see the whole picture, and that's where trusting the process that we're on and that it is leading to a positive outcome. You know, and just being really, you know, mindful. It's a marathon, not a race.
It takes at least a couple of years to set up a business for starters, you know. So as Tracy said, you know, it is a marathon. It's a long-term journey, and often people think that they've got to learn all this stuff really fast. And, you know, and any business is a steep learning curve. It's, you know, it's probably one of the steepest learning curves you'll ever experience. And so, you know, you have to have compassion with yourself and go easy on yourself in terms of being able to just, go through that learning journey and get support, you know, get help. This is another thing. Everyone thinks they've got to do it on their own rather than, you know, learn from others and get support and get a coach and get mentors and get people who know. You know, who know or gone through the experience or, you know, understand what you're dealing with, see it as a communal thing, because the days of just doing it all by yourself on your own, you know, that's gone. You know, even if you're a sole trader, it's really, really important that you have a community of people that are supporting you. It's very, nothing's ever been achieved by anybody by themselves, you know.
Yeah, they're great, great, great tips, actually. So one, with the confidence, trust in the journey. It's a journey. It's the long haul. It's your lifestyle. Be patient. Be strategic.
Be okay with not knowing.
Acknowledge what you're achieving every step of the way.
And acknowledge
celebrate the wins. Even if they're small wins. Wow. We set this up today. We got an Excel spreadsheet, whatever. We sorted that out. Sometimes you can spend an hour on the phone with the phone company or 2 hours and the things are a nightmare.
Call it a win every time.
We've got it connected, you know.
Well, it's been such a pleasure, such a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. It's gone so fast. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, Tracy and Ian.
Thank you so much, Cora.
We'll talk more about the art of business in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Sounds great. We'll see you then.